This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Italian debt is having a profound effect on world markets again today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The idea that Italy could be the next European country facing a debt crisis is sending world markets tumbling today, and the worry is making it more expensive to borrow money there. To ease the concern a bit, the country's stepping up efforts to cut its budget. Because Italy is one of the largest economies in Europe, global investors are concerned about the broader economy. John Weiss is an economist with the European School of Economics. He's with us now from Rome. Hi, John.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. We've obviously been hearing a lot about Greece and Portugal and Spain and all these other countries. How did Italy become the issue now?
For a while, Italians used to think that they were out of the woods in terms of the crisis. They got assurances from the government in terms that they were not going to be facing a like situation that we are seeing in Greece. But right now, this has been changing the last couple of days as a result of the tumble that the market took and as a result of the extreme or some of the measures that the government has proposed.
We've heard a lot about too big to fail. Could Italy be too big to save? It's the third largest economy in the Eurozone, right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's the other thing that the Italians feel, that maybe since they are one of the founders of the European community and they're one of the largest countries, failure of Italy would mean the failure of the whole European currency and the whole European monetary system. But the main concern is not so much that Italy would get out, but how would Italy face a situation whereby the interest rates would go up and the gap between the Italian bonds and the German bonds would get wider? And if that was the case, to what extent can Italy endure it, right? I think that would be more of a concern before Italy getting out of the euro.
John Weiss, an economist at the European School of Economics in Rome. John, thank you.
Okay, appreciate your call.
Another day, another negotiating session between the White House and congressional Republicans today. The two sides are trying to find common ground on a deal that would raise the nation's debt limit. So far, they are stuck on tax increases, which the GOP says is a non-starter. In Minnesota, a budget fight there between the Democratic governor and Republican state legislature has the state government shut down. We're 12 days in now, and there's still no sign of a deal to fix the state budget. 22,000 state workers are out of work for now, but the Minnesota government can't shut down forever. So what's the tipping point? Here's Marketplace's Jeff Horwich.
The Democratic governor and Republican legislature look as far apart as ever on whether taxes should help fix a $5 billion deficit. Meanwhile, it's not like life stands still for most Minnesotans. Critical functions like highway patrol, health services, and even the zoo are still open. But political scientist Steve Smith says the inconveniences are mounting, like trouble getting a building inspection or a driver's license.
All of which is survivable for a couple of weeks, but much of which creates really impossible difficulties for people after a month or so.
In the private sector, the shutdown is steadily taking a toll on road construction firms and nonprofits, almost anyone who gets state money. Michael Kuchta chairs a group that runs computer classes for immigrants.
At this point, it looks like we're losing about $24,000 a month. We believe we have enough cash to get us through July.
If public pressure doesn't tip things by then, look to the end of summer. The state fair and back to school ought to focus voter anger. In St. Paul, I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are down just under 1% at the moment. The U.S. trade deficit, we just got word, shot up in May to the highest level since late 2008, mostly because of higher priced imports of oil. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost another 151 points to close at 12,505.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day on the web at Manta.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
At a conference in Tehran today, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad warned of U.S. and Israeli plots to boost their own economic interests in the Muslim world. And the Muslim world is the subject of our globalist quiz today, specifically how vast that world is. Joining us now is our quizmaster, Stefan Richter from theglobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Steve. Are you ready for today's globalist quiz?
Indeed, I am.
So my question to you today is, where do most of the world's Muslims actually live?
Mm.
Is it A, in the Middle East and North Africa, much in the headlines these days,
mm-hmm.
B, in sub-Saharan Africa, C, in the Asia-Pacific region, or D, in Europe?
Hmm. Where do most of the world's Muslims live? Well, all right. Obviously, the Middle East, North Africa, there are a lot of people of the Islamic faith in that region. So I'm going to go with the Middle East and North Africa.
Not quite. It's
not quite.
20% of all Muslims. It is 322 million Muslims
yeah.
who live there, but that accounts for 20% of the global population of Muslims.
All right. Then I'm going to say, because I know Indonesia is what the it has the most Muslims of any country in the world, right? So I'm going to say the Asia-Pacific region.
You're a brilliant man.
Oh,
you're
wow.
absolutely right.
Wow.
62% of all Muslims around the world live there. Most interestingly, you mentioned Indonesia as the largest one. Pakistan in that region ranks number two. But India has almost as many Muslims in its population at 177 million as has Pakistan with 178 million,
My.
According to the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life.
That's a nice little tidbit to know. All right, Stefan, thank you so much. And Stefan Richter, we do appreciate your time.
And I appreciate your brilliance on that one today.
You bet. And for more insights, check out theglobalist.com. Finally, Czech car company Skoda is out with a new campaign, asking people to test drive one of their cars and at the same time find a soulmate. It's launched a website which asks users to enter social network information, their likes and their dislikes. Then Skoda matches those folks and invites the pair to go on a test drive together. Maybe the two will fall in love, buy a Skoda, and ride off into the sunset. Or maybe they'll have nothing in common, fight over the climate control system, and buy a Peugeot instead. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
If the economic future of a country is only as strong as the spirit of its entrepreneurs, then China is going to do just fine.
In the future, all women who buy the things in the internet will be our customers.
You're sure of that?
I'm sure of.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Sky's the limit, a metaphor for the times. Our China series, The 5-Year Plan, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.